last near the cross I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever till I reach that golden thread just beyond the river.
Y'all hear me? Can you hear me now? Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, give us thy light to light the way unto the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and unto the light of perfect day it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the pure and blessed, yonder in glory with the crown is won. For Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us till the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
And thank you, sister, for that good special and song. And in just a few days, we'll recognize what that star is all about, won't we? Wish other people did. All right, turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. Now, I'm going to share some things with you because it's so funny. Once you have the first snowflake fall, everyone goes bananas. You know, the news forecasters tell you blizzards are coming. And so you just don't ever know what is going to happen because some make it very sensational and blow it out of proportion, and other people maybe sometimes, you know, underrate it. So anyway, they're talking that we could have some kind of weather this weekend. So simply put, we'll have to see how that goes. If we are able to have services on Sunday, I talked to the men. We're going to have, after the Sunday morning service, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And we're going to let that be our last Sunday of the year and observe the Lord's Supper as we close out the Sunday morning service. So we'll have Lord's Supper after the Sunday morning service. Again, Lord willing, if the weather permits, my family and I will be heading to Florida to see my wife's folks, my in-laws and outlaws, all those. And so we'll be heading down there Sunday night, and Wednesday night, Lord willing, Brother Charles Taylor will be here speaking. So pray for him. And again, that's all going to be determined. You men will have to check, watch the weather and all that stuff, make sure everything's okay. But Lord willing, he'll be speaking Sunday night and Wednesday night in the services. Then the following Sunday, we're going to start first of the new year, where we'll start our new time for our Sunday evening service, which will actually be Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. So we're going to try that on the first Sunday of the new year. And I was thinking about it. That particular Sunday, those that would like to stay over, we've got that stew in the freezer. We could thaw that stew out, and anybody that wants to stay could have lunch in the fellowship hall and have some stew and fellowship, and then we'd come back church about 2 o'clock. So keep that in mind if you'd like to do that. That'd be the first Sunday of the new year, which would be the second. Is that right? The second. So, okay. I should know that because I have on my calendar the third. We go back to school on the third, and it's like, I talked to somebody the other day from the school, and they said, "Hey, well, so how are things going?" I said, "I'm enjoying some time off. I'll tell you that right now." So that will be the second. So we'll keep that in mind for that. So, like I said, this Sunday, Lord willing, if the weather permits, we'll have the Lord's Supper after the morning service. Brother Taylor will be preaching Sunday night and Wednesday night. So keep those things in mind. All right, chapter 2, Ecclesiastes, and I think I've covered all the way through the 23rd verse. I believe I have. If I haven't, you correct me on that. Three things we've seen so far in this chapter. In verses 1 through 3, we talked about how Solomon dealt with the subject of worldly living, and how that people live, and things haven't changed. We're talking over 3,000, well, at least over 2,000 years, maybe about 2,700 years or something, and people don't change. That's something you know to always keep in mind. People don't change. Human nature, the sinful nature, never changes. And the same people that lived for the world back in Solomon's day do it in our day too. So that's to be expected. Then we talked about worldly labor the next week, and he talked about how that people, he used the example of himself many times, and he's talked about there in verse 4 and 5 and 6, he said, "I did this and I did that." And he's using that as an example because he's letting us see that he said, "I've lived this life and I know it's not worth it. It's not worth it." Now, if you hear somebody that's poor and poverty stricken say that, you won't believe that. But if you hear somebody of the caliber of a king like Solomon, you'd be more likely to understand that coming from him than you would from other people. So we talked about worldly labor and how people invest in the works of this world and it just goes out and burns up and is consumed. Then we talked about the last time worldly loss in verses 12 through 23, and talked about when you have worked all your life and you've done that worldly labor, and you've got all that put away because there are people. You ever heard the saying about grandma putting her money in the mattress? I've heard that. I've heard that more than one occasion. I have heard of people who were poor and poverty-stricken, you thought, and then when they died, they did find inside their mattresses thousands and thousands of dollars. That's not unusual. That's not, because people don't trust banks. A lot of people don't trust banks. And you know something? I think they got a good reason not to. I'm not a big advocate of the banks because, you know, I think about the fact if the Lord were to come back, you know, and Antichrist got, you know, I believe I'd just rather see my money get burned up than have the Antichrist get hold of it. And some of these banks, I mean, they can take our money anytime they want to. And they just have to find a reason to do it. So he's talking about worldly labor. And when you've worked and worked and worked, what happens when you're gone and when you're dead? Now, in verses, the last three verses, verses 24, 25, and 26, he's going to kind of culminate everything and refer back to what he's talked about. Okay? So we talked about worldly living. We talked about worldly labor. We talked about worldly loss. Now he's going to tell us about some worldly lessons. There's some lessons that people need to learn. Okay? And let me show you three lessons in three verses that he's going to show us based upon everything we've been through in chapter 2. He said in verse 24, there is nothing better for a man. Now that's a pretty good statement. All right? He's going to tell every one of us right now the best thing for it. There's nothing better than what he's going to tell us. Okay, here it is. Than that he should eat and drink. That means when you sit at your table and you open a can of Vienna sausages and take a saltine cracker and a chunk of cheese and a glass of tea, the Bible said there's nothing better than that. Now you say, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right. I could sure handle T-bone steak, baked potato, and salad, and all that stuff. But you have to understand what he's talking about. Let's see what he's talking about. There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. You know why some people are miserable? It's because they don't put forth a hard day's work. Now, you know what I'm talking about. Many of you work, and you work hard, and a lot of the work today is not as much physical as it's mental. It's stressful. And that's what makes it hard today in our society. Now, when our grandmas and grandpas, when they used to work the field, it was all work. And then they came in, and they'd gotten through the turmoil and the strife, and they came in, and they relaxed, and they enjoyed a good evening. They got the house clean. They did all of these things, and all these things were just a blessing. Okay, and that was just that. That's a good thing. Today, the problem with today is we take our work home a lot of times. Now you say, "Well, no, I don't. I leave everything." Yeah, you do physically, but you know when you come home, you know where it is, because right here it's like, tomorrow. What have I got to face tomorrow? Or did I do so and so wrong? Or did I, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is tough. And so we have mental stress, we have physical stress, we have emotional stress, all that stuff. It's out there. Okay? All right? Now, there's nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. All right, here's the first lesson we're learning. Lesson number one, that spiritual labor has profits. All right, now, he's not talking about physical labor because, you know, the Donald Trumps of the world, I always pick on Donald because he's got too much money out there not to pick on. All right, and then no matter, and whoever it is, but you know what? I've said it many times, when those fellas, the Rockefellers or the Trumps or whoever they are, And I suppose we have more millionaires and billionaires than we ever have in our country than I suppose in the history of our country. But one of these days, they're going to die. Now, what about you? What about you? Have you been a spiritual laborer? If you've been a spiritual laborer, then anyway, you've sacrificed some things. You sacrificed some finances. You financed some time. You financed your own personal resources. You financed, I may have said this word already, convenience, because it's more convenient to stay home on Sunday than it is coming to church. You have sacrificed sleep. You have sacrificed tears, because there are people for whom you have prayed and wept tears for people. Okay? They're spiritual laborers. Okay? Now, I found that most spiritual laborers are not wealthy. They're not. They don't have money. Okay? And I think that's why he's talking like he is, because if you can sit down at your table, as far as I can tell, sitting here, none of us have missed many meals. Okay? And we don't have everything we would love to have, I think. You know, I think there's a lot of things we would love to have and we really wanted to. If we really had the money and wanted to blow the money, there's some things we'd like to have, but it doesn't keep us up at night. You're not going to stay up at night because, not unless Brother Julius is this way, but, you know, I don't think he's going to stay up late if he doesn't get a 2011 Lamborghini. You know, I don't think he will, but, you know, he might like that over the mystery machine out there, but, you know. But, you know, praise God. It's like I told him. I said, well, you know, the mystery machine is not the ideal thing, but if it can get you from point A to point B, if you can get it fixed when you need to, when you put the gas in it, you don't have to have a payment. I said, you know, hey, that's got its own rewards in a way. And so you look at those kind of things, all right? So we're not the kind of people sitting here that's going to drive up in a limousine. Okay? And we're not going to be eating caviar for a snack, you know. And we're not going to, you see the process. We're not going to sit down at night and have us a martini with a, you know, they call it dry martini. I never understood what dry martini was. It's wet. What is a dry martini? It's got an olive in it. What's dry about it? Dry. I can handle a dry martini. If it's empty, I can drink something that's not there. See what I'm saying? But a wet one will get you loaded down and get you drunk. So I don't understand all of those. But here's the point. The point is that's not what we're into. People could work overtime, but they choose to go to church because they know that's what they need to do. Somebody says, well, I can get a second job, but I wouldn't see my family. Well, you know, well, what's the most important thing there? I know plenty of people that have sacrificed their families. You don't get but one shot, do you? You don't get one time in your family. You're lucky if you have around 20 years with your children, on the average. Now, some never do get out, do they? You know, some don't leave, but on the, you're looking at the average, about 20 years. And then they take off, and God made it to be that way. We know all of that. But you know what? You know why you went without? You went without because you wanted to be with your family. You wanted to be with the rest of your family. And that's what God teaches in His Word. All right? So again, what does He say? He says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his, notice this, his soul, make his soul enjoy good in his labor. Which is better, to have a life you can't stand because you're doing the wrong thing, or to have a life where you put Jesus Christ first and sacrifice, but you knew it was the right thing? Which is going to make you happier, you say. It's just there. It's obvious. Okay? So spiritual labor. Okay? Spiritual labor has profit. You may not see it financially, but you will have peace of mind. You will have peace of heart. You will have a family. My heart goes out to people whose, I was talking to someone today, I guess it was today. And I was saying, you know, there are people who try to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I said, sometimes it doesn't take. And I said, you know, that's a tragedy. But I said, thank the Lord for those children that have been taught by their parents the ways of the Lord. And in so teaching their children the ways of the Lord, then those children grow up and they follow the Lord. And they serve the Lord, and they have children, and they teach their children the way of the Lord. I mean, that's it. That is, there is no greater crown of glory to be able to see your children to be raised up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing greater than that. That is the epitome. That is the capstone of life. Okay? So spiritual labor has profit. Physical labor does not, because physical labor is going to be consumed by fire one day. But spiritual labor can last forever. And he said, "This also I saw, that it was from the Lord." Then verse 25 is in the second lesson. He says, "For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I?" All right, second thing he says, not only in verse 24 is there spiritual labor that has profit, but then he talks about spiritual living that has profit. Now he says, "For who can eat, or who else can hasten hereunto more than I?" And here's what he's saying. He said, "I've taken this chapter and I've told you about me. I told you that I was the king. I told you everything I could do. I told you everything I did. I told you this is the way my life was." And he said, "Nobody could have done more with their lives than I have done." And he said, with what I have told you, he said, "I want you to understand this principle." He said, "I want you to understand that the greatest profit in the world is that you live right." He's talking about living right, because that's the whole, if you think about it, that's the whole purpose. He talked about, "I did this and I did that." And you go back and review in chapter number 2, he talked about all the things that he did. And he said, "I want to tell you right now," he said, "the greatest profit a man or woman can have is to live spiritually." Now, what are the benefits of living spiritually? I told you not long ago about a story. I was pulling up the gas station. I heard two young men, probably in their early 20s, talking. And one of the men said, "Yeah, your baby was born the other night while you were probably watching football." Now, you know that tells me something right there, that young man's going to go through a whole world of hurt. Okay? He's not going to have any peace. But thank God for the young couple that has a baby and says, "We're going to do right no matter what happens." Now, I don't know if you've ever met in your life, I'm sure you have, I don't know if you've met habitual chronic liar. Now, you know what a habitual chronic liar has to do? They have to remember every lie they've ever told to cover the previous one, because they are just going to lie. And the interesting thing is they can't do that. They can't remember every lie they've ever told. And you listen to them long enough, you'll catch them yourself. Okay? And they won't even realize that. They have no idea about that. Okay? Now, if you're trying to do right and live for the Lord, you don't have to worry about lying. And you don't have to worry about covering up. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to worry, a young man that decides in his life, I'm not trying to be too terribly graphic, but I'll have, it's just part of it. I'll say a young man, say a young lady too, gets very free in the area of sowing wild oats. You see where I'm going with that one? It's going to come back. It's going to haunt them. There's going to be a few slaps in the face. There's going to be a little hair pulling. It's going to be bad. Okay? The way of the transgressor is hard. But if you try to do right, guess what happens when your head goes on your pillow at night? You'll sleep well. Because you have peace. Because the peace comes from the Prince of Peace. All right? And he says, how a person lives dictates everything. Okay? Somebody says, I'm going to face financial bankruptcy. Well, why? Well, I cheated on my taxes. Now, it's not to say, I don't want the federal government to get anything more from me than they need. But I don't want to do something that will threaten me going to jail too. So I'm going to try to do right. But there are plenty of people. Some of y'all know that, and I don't know the full details on y'all. Some of y'all know that actor, I know probably Brother Julius does, Wesley Snipes, this black action actor who hasn't paid his taxes for years, and And I think they put him in jail, or I don't know what. He's at least going to court over it. I'm thinking to myself, and he's supposed to be a role model, and he has evaded his taxes, or however many, several years, I think. And I'm thinking, and he's supposed to be a role model for our kid. I wouldn't want him to be my role model anyway. But, you know what I'm saying? Then there's another actor I saw on the news just the other day. He's Randy Quaid. And Randy Quaid's in the news now because he and his wife had rented somebody's kind of vacation home and trashed it. And I'm thinking, okay, why? And I think something was intimated that he and his wife had been drinking. And it's like, duh. And it's like, why would you want to do that? And why would you want to go to court? And why would you want to be embarrassed on national television because you have been the one that has, you know, why? Go into the house, stay in it, clean it up when you leave, duh. Does this not make sense? You don't have to. If you do right, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. from Bob Jones University said, do right, though the stars fall, do right. And that's the truth. If you do right, you don't have to cover your tracks. If you do right, your life is going to have problems. I mean, Job said that man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. So you got problems. But the way I tell people is don't go looking for trouble. It'll find you soon enough. I know some people, they want to fight so bad, they'll fight at a drop of a hat, and they'll drop the hat. Don't go drop the hat. It'll come soon enough. Wait for it. It'll come looking for you. But if you try to live right and honor God, he says, for who can eat or who else can hasten hereunto more than I? He said, I've learned the lesson. If you listen to what I've got to say, you're going to take some. And here's the problem with young. Let me tell you the problem with young people. And we can all say amen to this because we used to be young, some of us. But remember that one that used to come to us, the mama, the dad, the grandma, the grandpa, the old preacher, somebody came and said, you know, this is the way you ought to handle such and such. And we said, oh no, I'm going to do it my way. No. And yeah, do it your way. And you know what's going to happen. There had to be a reason why somebody came and told you not to do it that way, and then you say, I'm going to do it that way. All right, there's the wall. Hit it. That's where your head's going to be before it's over with. Because people are trying to help others and say, I've been there, I've done that, I got a teacher. Don't go the same way I went. But somebody's always going to go that way because it's like you say, you know, don't do this. And some people are, as the old saying is, hell-bent. Once you tell them not to do something, they're going to do it no matter what. But he said, let me give you some advice. Been there, done that, and let me give you advice. Live right, and you will not have that heartbreaking sorrow. And then not only is spiritual labor profitable and spiritual living is profitable, but then he closes in verse 26 and he said, spiritual luxury is profitable. Now, I do not propagate what's called prosperity theology. I've told you about this preacher on the TV, this black preacher named Leroy Thompson. If you ever see him on there, look at him, watch him, you will get a good laugh. How many remember the old Fat Albert cartoons? Do you remember Fat Albert? There was a character on Fat Albert called Mushman. And this preacher Thompson has this talk the way Mushmouth did on the cartoon. And I've told you that while he's out, he'll be down out of the platform. He doesn't stay up there. And that platform, that pulpit alone probably cost $1 million. It is just gorgeous. I mean, it looks like solid granite. I don't know what it's made out of. But anyway, he'll come out. And while he's preaching, people are putting money in his hand the whole time. And I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. Because, I mean, he just come up and just, and I guess he taught them if you put money in his hand, I guess it's supposed to be some kind of real blessing you're going to get for doing it. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's the one getting blessed. I don't know about the others. But that's not right. It's not in the Bible. I do know the Bible says giving should be given unto you. But Oral Roberts back in the 70s started this teaching of what he called seed sowing. And it said, if you have a need, then you take a certain sum of money. Now, that might have been $1,000, something like that. And then he'd say, now you invest it, you plant it. Now, what that meant was you send it to him. Then he said, you name your seed. That meant that you said, now, Lord, I am planting this seed because this is what I need. I need $100,000 over here for this particular reason. And he said, now, once you plant the seed and you name the seed, you claim the seed. All right, that started all the way back in the 70s, and it's just gotten more popular all the time. Well, you know, but am I giving to get? Is that my motive? And as I study the Bible, I don't think that's my motive. I don't think that's why the Bible says, given it will be given unto you. You give and help somebody else, God's going to bless you for it. But I'm not going to do it and say, now, Lord, I'm planting $100 because I need $1,000. I don't know that that's biblical. And that's not what he's saying when I use the phrase spiritual luxury. He said in verse 26, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. Now, this goes back to the principle of verse 25. Is a person doing right? If a person is doing good, if a person is doing that which is good in the sight of the Lord, God will give him three things: wisdom, knowledge, and joy. You really can't beat those three things. Wisdom is looking at things from God's point of view. Understanding or knowledge is that which you get into your mind and God shows you things and helps you to understand. That's knowledge. And then joy unspeakable, full of glory. The joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is that which God gives us, and it is not based or determined on circumstances. Joy is in your heart because of Jesus. Okay? But to the sinner, here's what happens to a sinner, an unbeliever, a person that does not want to live for God, here's what happens to them. But to the sinner, he giveth travail. Isn't that what I just said, pretty much? You let a liar lie, what's he got to do? He's got to cover up every lie. That's travail. He lies to the wrong person, somebody takes, bam, pow. Some people are not going to put up with that. You know? And they'll come get you. They don't mind it. See? Whatever it is, the sinner, the young man I talked about, if that case was true, that scenario was true, if he did not take care of his responsibilities to his children, if he wasn't present when the child was born, if he's running from that. I saw a young lady today in a church that I used to pastor. I went to the bank and I saw her, and I haven't seen her in a long time. She had a child out of wedlock. And she was asking how things were going, and I asked her about a little girl. I said, how old's your little girl? Now she's just 9 years old. And, you know, I don't know that daddy ever took his responsibility. And as far as I know, she's raising that little girl by herself. It's not easy. But here's somebody at least stepping up to the bank, try to. But you know what kind of pain and heartache that had to cause? Had to. God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom, knowledge, and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail. To gather and to heap up. Now this is interesting. Now notice what he says. To gather and to heap up. What's he doing? He's working. There are some very awesome and fantastic unbelievers that are better in their giving than some Christians are. And he said to gather and to heap up. Now notice this. That he, the sinner, may give to him, the man that is good in God's sight, that he may give to him that is good before God. God, what? You have a need. You have a need? I had a need met for me today. I had a lady call me on the telephone and say, Brother Moore, I have in my hand some money for you. And said, do you want me to work to put it into your account? Because she just happened to work at the bank that I did my banking. I didn't see this coming. And I was just like, I said, yes, ma'am, that'd be wonderful. I don't know where it came from, but I can promise you this. The Lord did not send it floating out of sky somewhere. God worked through a human being to channel it to me. Can give to you. Profane people can give to you. Heathens can give to you. Because he said, given it should be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, shall men. It didn't say whether they had to be lost or had to be saved. You could testify, I'm sure, of how there are lost people that have met need for you. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. You know, the great thing about the Lord is you can't put the Lord in a box. You get frustrated. We all do. Do you ever... You may not be honest here. Okay? If you're not honest, it's okay, because we're not all honest about things we need to be honest about. But have you ever just got frustrated and said, Lord, let me tell you how to handle this. I know how to handle this, Lord. And if you'd let me, Lord, I'd... And you know what? And he doesn't do it the way I think that he should, but there's a reason, isn't there? There's a reason why he does not do the way I say it ought to be done. Because if he did it the way I thought it needed to be done, I'd mess it up. But he knows how to do it. Just like that thing today when I got that phone call. I didn't see that coming. Okay. But then there are times when I'm looking at a distance and nothing comes. And I'm saying, Lord, it's like I hear people say, they'll say, you know, when my ship comes in, I said, my ship's been in many times, but it gets so close to the deck, it gets torpedoed. These people, God bless them, that go out and play the lot. It's such a waste of money. And I know people that waste several hundred dollars playing the lottery. And they talk about, well, I got to give it, but look how much they're losing. I'm talking hundreds of dollars, sometimes a week. That's taking money out of your kid's mouth. And there are people that become gambling addicts. Because that's what it is. Somebody says, well, playing the lottery is fun. Well, it's gambling. It's gambling. And I'm not going to say it doesn't get... I know an elderly lady that played the lottery and got so many $100,000, enough to pay her house up. But let me tell you what happened. She paid her house up. Her house paid for. But she's addicted to it now. And now she's going to, before it's over, she's going to lose more playing the lottery than she ever did winning the first time getting her house paid off, because all the money she's thinking she's going to get a free ride. That's why people play the lottery. Free ride. Free money. No such creature. There's nothing free. I love it when you see these commercials at Christmas time. Buy one, get one free. Do this and get this free. And it's like, no, there is nothing free. And it's hilarious because, you know, at Christmas time, oh, this is free. No, this is not free. Somewhere they're going to get you. Somehow they're going to get their money. There is no such thing as free. Because what's happening is now Christmas is here, and they take the sales price, and then they up the sales price 50% and say, we've dropped it. Am I making any sense? And then they said, but we dropped it. So what they did, here's where it was. It was here. Then they brought it up to here. And then they said, but it was here. Okay, liars. No. And then if you bring it back after Christmas, and let's say you don't have a receipt, oh, I'm sorry, we have to reduce it to this amount. You know what I'm saying? They're going to get their money some way, you know. They have the right to set that if they want to, is what I'm saying. But don't believe everything is free. There is no such creature. Now, what he's saying is this. If you want to avoid vanity and vexation of spirit, then just do right. Just do right. Somebody going to nail you? Sure enough, somebody will get you. Somebody will fool you. Somebody will, you know. But what do you got to worry about if you're doing right, trusting God? That's a spiritual lesson that he's teaching us. He said, I look back at this entire chapter and he said, I see that there's profit in spiritual labor, there's profit in spiritual living, there's profit in spiritual luxury. Now the reason I use the word luxury is because we don't live in a mansion. None of us that I know of live in mansions, and we're not driving those Lamborghinis I was talking about, and we're not, you know. But you know, if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, is that not the greatest of all luxuries? If you put your head on, if you can go to sleep at night and have peace in your heart and not have to take drugs to get you down. Well, some people have to take drugs to get up in the morning and take drugs to put them down at night. If you can have peace and sleep like that, praise God, you are living a life of luxury. So, you know, we do kind of moan and groan and complain, but boy, the Lord is better to us than we deserve. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us, and we just pray that you'll teach us these lessons given to us by the man of God. And see, Father, that there is spiritual labor. We need to work for the Lord. And there is spiritual living. We need to live for the Lord so others can see Jesus. And then there is spiritual luxury, that we enjoy the aftermath. We enjoy the various wonderful things that take place because we are Christians. If you will, benefits of being a Christian that this world does not have nor can have. So I pray, God, that you'll help us to take and learn from the truths of Solomon and bless us. We'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to sing two verses of the hymn that Brother Paul wrote for us.
Number 308, Holy Trust Me. Number 308.
All right, we'll stand and sing. And I hope you have a great and wonderful Christmas. And if you have Jesus in your heart, you know you will.